is Sportsfeld. Welcome to April. Welcome to Major League Baseball season. We are recording on a Thursday because I had a busy Wednesday, and the Blue Jays are 1-0. You're undefeated, American League East leading. Day off on Friday having Toronto baseball Blue Jays. You got to love it, Jake.
You know, multiple times during the game today, I was like, ooh, Sportsfeld's going to be just like 590 Jays talk today. But they won, so all is well.
What's not to like? It was dream come true day.
I am concerned with a couple things.
Okay.
First of all, I'm concerned with how emotionally invested and pumped up I was about game one of 162.
Boy, oh boy, they got a double play ball in the one that Phelps got. Was that seventh, eighth? Oh my goodness, I was too into that.
Yeah, and Cavan coming home in the bottom of the ninth.
That's a clutch play.
It's a good play. That's a heads up defensive play to know to throw home rather than going for two.
And a nut crunch of a throw. Like you have to you have to make that throw perfectly, basically. And he did.
And great play by Danny Jansen to keep him off the line. And I'm concerned about how in the tank I am and how invested I was in that. I'm concerned about how likable this team is.
These don't seem like real concerns. They seem like good problems.
Yeah, no, they're all good problems. I'm also concerned with how, like, they were literally one run away from me spending our entire show yelling about Charlie Montoyo telling Danny Jansen to bunt with two strikes.
Yeah, that's going to happen. Charlie's going to be... We talked about this, I think, maybe in the middle of the offseason, but the last couple of years where it was like, we don't really know anything about Charlie because the team is terrible. We're about to find out what Charlie's like when he has all the toys out of the toy box. Two-strike bunt, don't love it. Don't love that in Little League. Don't love that in the Major Leagues. Don't love that...
Also worth knowing that the pitch that he tried to bunt hit the dirt.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, I don't love bunting really ever, but, you know, strike one, strike two, fine. It's literally a runner on second with nobody out, and you're bunting with two strikes?
In extra innings?
Just hit the ball on the ground.
Yeah.
Who cares what happens?
Yeah. Listen, you're no argument here. I'm not going to come out here and defend.
Anyway, they won, so it's fine. But I was ready for that to be a big, big discussion point today. But I'm glad that we don't have to, because they won.
We're going to talk a lot of baseball because Raptors make me a little too sad right now.
I don't want to talk about them.
They flipped from. I think Will Liu actually articulated it really well this week. It just actually makes you really sad because like these guys. Most of the core guys have never really experienced being anything but a good team that like has tough playoff runs, but like they've never been out and out bad, and they are bad.
Also, they've been as a team for the last, let's be conservative and say 4 years, have been such like a resilient team in the face of adversity. And I don't know about you, but I expected during the slump that it would turn around in any second. And be like, oh, okay, they're going to go on a 10-game win streak and finish in seventh.
Yeah.
And it just hasn't happened. And that's, like, seeing them actually just, like, bottom out has been really tough. So I don't want to talk about it because it's opening day and the Blue Jays are fun. So.
We will stick with Blue Jays and we will stick with baseball. And I don't want to go any further because I just want to open the beer. We are so thrilled to have one of our absolute favorite folks back in the fold. Left Field Brewery is your brewery of the month for the month of April. I'm absolutely thrilled. They sponsored Sportsfeld Trivia Night, which was a smash hit. I was hungover from that for like 3 days. We had so much fun. Great times. Sportsfeld Trivia was a blast.
Like question six, I could see that you were feeling the beers.
Well, I was also stressed, right? Because it didn't go off the way I wanted it to. So I was stress drinking. Anyway, Left Field Brewery, they have gifted us so many beers, so many great beers. I am thrilled. We are starting off. We are cracking today. We are cracking the ice cold beer, just a classic ballpark lager that I cannot wait to rip the top off of and chug back.
Oh, it's been a while since I've heard that open on a mic. Oh, it's all over my hand. Slurp and discuss off my hand. Oh, you got a glass.
Yeah, the summer turned me into a glass guy every time.
I do like, I will say I've been drinking more with a glass than I ever have in my life, mostly because we're just drinking at home and like, why wouldn't I? But I couldn't be bothered to get one today.
Listen, these left field brews, you just want to get them into your body as quickly as you can.
God, I love that beer.
Ice cold beer. Let's.
I'm gonna go out on a hot take here.
Mm-hmm.
If we're qualifying, I'm not saying it's like ice cold beer is my absolute favorite beer.
Oh my god, it's so good.
But if we're qualifying what we count as crispy boys,
mm-hmm.
I think it's the Topps.
It's so good. It's such an easy bulk drink. I could just have so many of those. I gotta say, delicious.
So many things suck about the pandemic, obviously. But one that I don't care for is because we spent last summer ordering all these different beers from all these different great local breweries and stuff and trying out new stuff we maybe wouldn't have otherwise. I've yet to be able to go to like a cottage with like 40 of these and just drink them. It's a shame. It's what we call in the business a shame.
Yeah, a bunch of these and a bunch of the new Gloriosos, which we will drink later in the week.
Yeah.
That's all you need for an extended period. I'll do a little bit of an information. Ice cold beer, if you don't know, it's a 100% Ontario ale. It's a 4.5. The fans demand ice cold beer. A crisp and refreshing all-natural craft ale made with 100% Ontario ingredients. It's seriously great without being too serious. Grab a taste of the ultimate bleacher beer and enjoy the game. Gotta say, left field, you nailed it with that marketing. This is your ultimate bleacher beer. I almost want to get a plastic cup and drink it out of that.
Yeah, I've described beers before as like beers that taste like being at Skydome.
Yeah.
And this is that without the stale awfulness of the beers. Yeah. At Skydome.
I want one of those little sippy cup lids. Oh boy. So, left field brewery, you know them, you love them. And I believe the big sell is they've knocked down the free delivery price to $45.
Yes, I believe you're right. We were supposed to say that. I mean, good for left field for trusting us to do this again, even though we keep fucking it up.
I can't. It's hard for me to focus on anything other than how much I love drinking the beers. But yes, the free delivery over $45.
Sorry, Cassie has just tripped over two things in about 8 seconds. Sorry, I got distracted by my wife apparently forgetting how to walk. here's the left field thing.
Yes.
We're saying. Those are just beer descriptors. I thought there was a thing about
Jake, you're doing a great job.
Delivery.
I'm glad you took that over from me. That was
I thought I had it in front of me, and then I got distracted by my wife.
Anyway, $45 gets you free home delivery in the GTA, and you place your order at leftfieldbrewery.ca, which we absolutely love.
They are doing excellent. I see, by the way, you said, and you were just reading the thing I was looking for.
That's correct.
Okay. Perfect.
Boy, oh boy. I'm so thrilled. I'm just so thrilled. Anyway, Jake, great ad read. That's what people want us to do.
Yeah. The thing about left field is that they're not only good beer, but they're good people. Mm-hmm. And they support good causes and are just all around lovely.
That's why I always get so thrilled. When they are the ones that step up to work with us, I get so thrilled because it's like, You wouldn't need to give me any reason to enjoy left field brews. So, absolutely happy. Blue Jays. Oh, baby. I can think of like four different ways I can go right now. Four different things I could talk about that it really jumped out at me today. I will start with, I think, the headline news. The number one thing. Drew Ferriservice put it quite succinctly. Vladimir Guerrero Jr. is a problem this year.
If we're going back to my list of concerns that are good problems to have, if that's the theme of the day, it took one at bat for me to be like, oh, well, Vladdy's going to win the triple crown.
114 mile an hour rocket back up the box, as well as two walks. And for me, it was he was just spitting on borderline pitches, things that like, this was the guy that we were promised, right? It was going to be, he can hit for power, incredible contact, but above all, just like a supremely great eye and doesn't swing at bad pitches. And then last year, I think, and the year before that, we would see where he would get scuffling a little bit and he would chase out of the zone and he would try to make something happen. He looked absolutely locked in. He did it all spring. He was unbelievable and he rolled that in. I think, you know, sky's the limit, right? This is the every scouting department tells you that this is a sky's the limit type hitter, and it's only one game, obviously. But boy, am I ever like, this is the Vladdy breakout year. Like, he's gonna make the All Star team. He's gonna be Silver Slugger. Like, sky's the limit. I think we are going to have the Vladdy season that we expected to see out of the gate.
When you have literally Gerrit Cole pitching scared to you in game one, maybe it's because he almost took his fucking head off with that first AV, but like the two walks were well drawn. It's not like he was throwing 8 miles out of the box, but it is two walks and back-to-back at bats in game one after he hit just a piss rocket up the middle at him. So I don't know. I think the other thing I like about Vladdy today is, because I have nothing bad to say about him, is I thought his glove looked a little better. He had a couple nice scoops at first base.
Gold glove and a Silver Slugger? Yeah.
And I don't know what the right word for it is. I guess the energy is the right word, of after not getting the call with his foot off the bag in the fourth or so, I want to say, when Semien made the great diving stop to get him the ball, pointing right at the umpire who didn't give you the call the play before, and pumping your fist and walking off the field. That's the kind of shit I like to see from the guys who are supposed to be like the main guys on a playoff team.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's game one. He was pumped up. He's telling umps to fuck themselves. I'm into it. I'm super, super into it.
Yeah, I think, you know, again, we don't want to extrapolate from literally the opening day, but man, they battled. They played hard. The second thing that jumped out to me today was downright competent defensively. Marcus Semien makes a huge difference, a huge, huge, huge difference as a really plus second baseman, somebody that was, you know, I think maybe an average to slightly below average metrically shortstop. He is a gift at second base, smart plays, making tough plays. There was the ball earlier in this game that I think is probably would have been a go-ahead run for the Yankees that he turned into an out. The great turn on that double play as well. You know, as you mentioned, Vladdy looking fairly comfortable at first with some scoops. He did have his foot come off the bag on that one play. But once you factor in adding Springer to center field and, you know, Bichette at short, and Biggio's arm didn't look supreme, but
that was where I was going next. I thought he, like, his defensive instincts, I think, are very good, and he made some nice, like, plays down the line, but I don't know about that cross diamond throwing.
Yeah, he might not be an everyday third baseman. That's okay. They've acquired the flexibility to work around that. Is a good thing.
That's true. Yeah, and you can also find that, I think.
Compared to the last couple of years where there was always a couple times per game where you were like, what is going on out there? It was just nice to see some competence and some even hits taken away. Like, I think there was some plays that...
Yeah, when's the last time we were talking about them taking hits away?
Yeah.
Other than the rare like highlight.
And, of course, I mean, great to see Hyunjin Ryu.
Man.
A pleasure. Just a soothing balm to watch.
When he left the game, my thought was, genuinely, the thought I had was like, it sucks that we have to wait like 6 days to watch him again.
Yeah.
What a, like, in the group chat during some of his pitches, a lot of discussion of just like, I don't understand how he's so dominant with how he pitches. But man, it's fun. I think the stat after the game was in 10 of 13 starts for the Blue Jays, he's allowed 2 runs or less.
Wow.
Like, and he had a couple pitches that were just gross. Aaron Judge was about like 7 seconds late on that one strikeout.
He was great. Julian Merriweather looked disgusting. He looked disgusting in the 10th inning. Ridiculous.
I wanted to ask you about that.
Thrilled.
I personally have drank the Kool-Aid that Julian Merriweather is a 99 velocity guy.
Oh, yeah.
Are you all in? You drink the Kool-Aid?
Oh yeah, sucking it down like an ice cold beer. Absolutely, he's nasty. What other evidence do you need? I was in, even late last year. I was like, oh, Merriweather looks like a piece. Yeah.
You know what's very funny about Merriweather maybe being legitimately good? I tweeted this earlier, but I want to talk about it, is how funny after the last 3 years of, I wouldn't even say distaste, I would say active vitriol at the way the front office handled things in the last...
Maybe from some other people, but not us, but yeah.
Not us, of course. How funny would it be if they actually got real value from the Josh Donaldson trade?
They won both versions of the Donaldson trade. Coming and going. They got it both ways. They won both versions.
The Donaldson out trade, I would argue, is pretty close to the nadir of the Shapiro Atkins years.
Certainly.
And then for that to actually work, and like, I'm not quite ready to say that it has, but honestly, after today, that's already something.
He's a major league pitcher. You got that going for him.
It'd be very funny to me. And like, I was right there yelling about it, but it'd be very funny to me if after all that, Julian Merriweather turns out to be a key piece on a playoff team.
He might be the setup man, closer. Some reminiscence of like the very first great Aaron Sanchez bullpen year. You can make that if you want to. You know.
I feel like him and Romano pretty much have the, hopefully have sort of the back end. Yes. They can platoon it however they want to do it. That's fine.
Dolis is there as well, obviously.
He looked good today too. I forgot about him, to be honest, because he was hurt all spring. And when he came in, I got immediately nervous, but he looked good.
Dolis is one of those guys. I think he had like a 1.29 ERA last year. He could literally win the Cy Young, and I would still be like, ugh, Dolis, every time he comes in.
Yeah.
It's just the 100%. Way that he pitches.
Also, not to keep comparing it to last year, but because last year was a fake year, that doesn't count. Really nice to be able to go to a Julian Merriweather in the 10th rather than some of the 10th inning pitchers they trotted out last year.
They're in a good spot.
I feel like there's a little, the sort of, let's call them the David Phelps area of the game, the between Tyler Chatwood and the Romano Merriweather, little concerned there.
Well, listen, middle of the bullpen is, that's where bad pitchers go, right?
Right, but we have a lot of them, is my thing.
If they were good pitchers, they wouldn't be in the middle. They wouldn't be middle relievers. That's sort of...
That's true, but, you know, I think back to the 2015-2016 year, and, like, obviously those teams were very good, but, like, the middle of the bullpen guy was Brett Cecil.
Sure. If it helps at all, like, you can get a middle reliever for nothing.
True.
Right?
That's true. I just like when they tweeted out the official 26 man or whatever it is today, that list of pitchers looked mighty thin. Although it does look a little thicker today after the way Merriweather pitched, I will admit.
You could talk yourself into Trent Thornton being a bit of a bullpen weapon. I think that's, and I don't know anything about Joel Payamps, but.
No, but he's starting apparently.
Okay. So here's where we'll get it. We're here. So we'll just talk about it. Here's where.
Oh, you want to talk about the rotation, such as it is?
Well, you know, Jake, you, for better or for worse, right? We have this power with this team, right?
Yeah.
Where we can just sort of speak things into existence, and we got Travis Shaw signed, we got Tanner Roark in the rotation, and you, my friend, have, I would almost say single-handedly, given us...
Against better judgment, apparently.
You've given us TJ Zoik as the number three guy on opening day. That's a fact. He's the number three starter. That's what's happening. We are already, and listen, there's Robbie Rehfeld on the stairs and Nate Pearson. We hope the groin injury eventually sort of fixes itself. But, you know, we're already into it's, we've finished one game and TBD is game four and five. We don't even really know. You got to assume one of them will be Roark and I don't
Mats,
even know.
No?
Yes, probably Mats, right? But yeah, you've done it. You've given us TJ Zoik against the Yankees on Sunday. Is the reality of life?
Look, when I decided arbitrarily in February 2020, which now seems like it was 17 years ago, that the guy that I was going to ride or die with in the Blue Jays system was TJ Zoik. I expected it to be like TJ Zoykov pitched the seventh inning.
Sure.
I did not expect, even in spring, which, like, admittedly, so many pitchers throw so many games in spring. It's, you don't really, you're not, other than like the big names, you're not really tracking it that close. When we got to last weekend and TJ Zoik was starting in the final game of the spring, and then news came down that he made the club as a starter, I have to say I was surprised.
Yeah.
However, as you know, if you've listened to the show before, I am not one to back down from something arbitrary and
certainly
ridiculous.
Not. Certainly not.
So, TJ Zoik's number three starter, he's going to get the win on Sunday. He's going to make guys like Giancarlo Stanton get booed again, like he did today.
They'll be the 3-0 Blue Jays by the time TJ Zoik is done with them. Ross Stripling, game two. We're waiting. I'm drinking the Robbie Ray is actually good Kool-Aid, so.
Yeah, me too.
Don't need to tell me anything.
I may or may not have drafted Robbie Ray with the last pick of a fantasy baseball draft last night.
There we go. So we are going to take a quick break. We come back. We got even more. I have more Blue Jays observations. I'm not even near done. We'll do that in just a second. We continue talking Blue Jays on opening day, which would, you know, ersatz season preview episode here. We've been through the rotation. We've been through the improved defense. We've drooled a little bit over Vladdy. And I will say that another big takeaway for me today was having to remind myself every three innings or so. They're adding George Springer to this lineup.
Yeah, I was having that conversation earlier, pregame. About when the lineup came out, thinking, "Oh, Marcus Semien's leading off. That's like it's fine. Like it's a good enough lineup that I don't think it really matters. But like, it's a little strange." And then being like, "Right, the actual leadoff hitter isn't playing till next week."
Crazy.
And then looking at the lineup that they fielded today, and when you take out Randall Grichuk and add Jordan Springer, that's a that's a very good lineup.
Crazy. Crazy. Greedy. I feel greedy with how good that lineup can be.
That is... This is maybe a stupid statement.
Don't be afraid.
On an individual player basis...
Who's going to do it?
This isn't true.
Okay.
But from a 1-9 basis, the full 2021 Blue Jays batting order is better than the 2015 batting order.
Wow.
Because that 2015 batting order ended the year, not the full 2015 batting order, but the way that season ended with at-bats going to Kevin Pillar,
sure,
and Ryan Goins. The closest thing to a Kevin Pillar or Ryan Goins in the lineup currently at full power would be Danny Jansen.
Yeah, I mean, and it's not crazy.
I'm just saying there's two in one and one in the other.
Yeah.
Listen. Obviously, I don't think there's anyone in this lineup that can necessarily do what 2015 Josh Donaldson or 2015 Jose Bautista did.
I don't know. Vladdy.
But maybe. But from a 1-9 perspective, it's my point is the 2021 Blue Jays with George Springer is an insanely good lineup.
I'm thrilled. As I was saying, I think everybody, first of all, great to see the timeline going nuts tonight. Everyone was talking about baseball on Twitter, which I obviously love. I think everybody's group chats were talking baseball today. Just so good that, like, man, just thank God they're exciting again. And at least it's interesting.
Right?
It's so much better when they're just at least exciting and interesting. And
also, nothing like the Blue Jays being interesting to make you remember how much you hate the Yankees. It's just like pointing out all, looking at all like the just goobers in the fucking crowd today. Ugh, gotta hate the Yankees.
And you know, they threw their ace out there, and he couldn't get it done. It's tough.
Okay, I'll save for the mailbag because we have a question about this, but we'll talk about the Yankees then. But yeah, the Blue Jays, George Springer is on this team. Is the point?
And Nate Pearson waits in the wings. Alec Manoah, I guess you could maybe say, but No, I'm watching a lot of games. Like that's my I'm gonna be watching a lot of baseball. I can see that as my not too distant future because boy oh boy.
I definitely had the after the game today, like I can't wait for 1 o'clock on Saturday.
Yeah, I can't believe they're not playing today on Friday, but I guess that helps us. That helps us with our not having this be out of date by a day or somebody getting hurt or something like that.
to the lineup point again, when Springer's added, the thing that was I find impressive is even today without Springer, that like 1 through 6, it was still kind of giving those, you know, 2015 vibes of like, okay, they got like, especially in that, was it the second when they scored the first run?
Mm-hmm.
When it was like, oh, okay, Teoscar got on. Oh, there's Vlad with a rocket up the middle. Oh, now it's Lourdes who can come in. Like, it's just, and the three preceding were Semien, Bo, and Cavan. It's like, it's pretty good.
Man, Teoscar Hernandez is still still really good. It makes me so happy.
He hit that to the moon.
He's still so good. He's still so, so good at baseball. It makes me so happy. I'm thrilled. Teoscar being good. Absolutely thrilling. No, listen, there's no complaints. There's not really much else you could even say, like, in terms of, you know, you would love to see them go out and get X. Like, there's not enough. Like, yeah, here's your point. It's like Jansen maybe is not going to be a Silver Slugger catcher, but also, like, there's not a lot of good hitting catchers anywhere. So, like, it's...
Right.
If you're going to have a he's hit ninth, right? He's hitting ninth.
That's exactly
what's the big deal. That's just it's thrilling. Right. It's thrilling, and
there's also Kirk and the fact that they DFA'd Reese to make room for Kirk makes you think that like, okay, if Jansen can't get it done, there's a guy there waiting to see if he can.
Yeah, actually, you know what? I'm glad you bring that up because I was thinking about earlier this week is the DFA of McGuire. To me, I think similar to you said something earlier this offseason about moving on from Fisher. To you was like almost a bigger sign than signing Springer. And I feel the same way about starting the year with Kirk and waving McGuire. Because I feel like if they didn't believe that they were a team that is going to make the playoffs, they would say, listen, we're going to keep the guy who's out of options here for a little bit and let him play his way off the team or whatever it is. You know what I mean? And they went ahead and said, Reese is not as good as Alejandro Kirk. And we want the best lineup coming out of spring. We want the best lineup we can have every single day. It's not about the edges and the percentages. It's about having the best possible team every single day. And to me, listen, that's all we ever asked, right? To defend ourselves a little bit from our previous, like being a little harsh, all we ever asked was that they were trying to field the best team possible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I was having this conversation yesterday with our friend Jacob Kramer regarding Randall Grichuk, who neither of us particularly like. He was okay today. I will give him credit. But we were kind of talking about, as relates to like the fourth outfield spot, let's call it, and how carrying Jonathan Davis... who raked in spring this year, and how it's kind of the fact that they are constructing it in this sense of like, okay, we're waving Reese and going into the year with Kirk. I feel like that fourth outfield slot, it's kind of like Grichuk's job to lose rather than someone else's job to like win, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I get you.
And I think to your point about the commitment to being competitive, I think that's an important change in philosophy, because I think now they're showing that if Grichuk comes out and he sort of hits like he has last couple years and Davis hits like he did in spring, which obviously spring is spring, and like I'm not saying that like Jonathan Davis is the answer or anything, but if that happens, they have now shown that they won't hesitate to move on.
Yeah,
and obviously Grichuk's a little more complicated because of the money he makes, but it's still, I think, a good sign from the front office and the coaching staff that they're taking this year as seriously as their money spent suggests, which we've seen good Blue Jays, like not even like we've seen non Shapiro Atkins Blue Jays teams not do that. And I think that's important for hope and faith and belief this year.
Yeah, I think that's well said. I think that's well stated. I think, boy, it's exciting. It's just exciting to have
really
a fresh team in town. Not that we were, you know, not that we were souring on anything else, but just sort of the mood around the Raptors has sort of taken a turn, and who knows what the Maple Leafs. I guess Jack Campbell's the only guy that matters. I guess I'm basically taking my Maple Leafs takes from Twitter and not much else.
But I mean, that's what a good Blue Jays team does. It may, especially because the Raptors are sort of fading now. A good Blue Jays team makes you pay attention to the Leafs. You will pay attention to the Leafs 2 Mondays from now because it's the trade deadline.
Oh yeah.
And then you will pay attention to the Leafs when the playoffs start. Yeah. And the rest of April is for the Blue Jays, and that's how it's supposed to be.
Yeah, I think you nailed it. And especially for us, I think especially for me and you, it's like, this team's going to have my attention more often than not in the next little bit. And then hopefully they just sort of, all they have to do is hang around and float around. And, you know, we touched on this last year, and I think it's even emphasized even more this year, is they also have the advantage of, like, there's not a lot of other good American League teams.
The Yankees are Royals and the Rangers just putting up a barn burner of bad baseball today.
Yeah, and you know, the Central's got a bunch of bad teams in it. The West isn't particularly enticing. Like, they have a pretty
10-8 in the fifth.
Yeah,
between the Royals and the Rangers. So
they have a realistic path to a wild card at the very least, right? Like a really achievable. It's, you don't have to, you know, come up with this crazy way things break. It's just like they have to be better than the Rays and the Red Sox and, like, whoever becomes third in the Central. That's about it. And that's not really asking that much. So,
and I would even say that, like, you don't really have to think about the Red Sox even this year.
Until they're officially dead, it's hard for me to, but
of course,
but absolutely.
Of course. But you know what I mean? Like, they're not the Red Sox, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does. And listen,
and even the Rays jettisoned a lot of their best guys.
Yeah, absolutely they did. Both of those teams, it's like, I just need to see that. I need to see the villain in the show actually die, right?
And of course, no matter what the Rays do, we'll go 10-20 at the trough. Like,
I'm not just walking away from the rubble and being like, the villain died in that. I have to see the dead body.
No, I think that's fair.
But I think it's also worth pointing out, I don't want to jump all over the place a little bit, as we talk about competitors and we talk a little bit about, you know, I've been asked this on the radio, and I think it's a pretty common talking point is, you know, the Jays didn't go out and get a ton of pitching depth, but, like, listen, the Yankees are throwing, like, a Corey Kluber tomorrow, like, and not prime Corey Kluber. Like, it didn't look great in the spring Corey Kluber, and, like, had a 5.8 ERA in 2019, didn't pitch in 2020. Like, you know, the Yankees, it's not like they're lousy with great pitching. It's sort of, this
Zach
is
Zach Britton's on the 60-day.
Yeah, like, this is the story of the division, is you have two really, really good offenses and a lot of questionable pitching. And, you know, maybe the Rays will make their hay with pitching, but they got rid of Snell. And you know, the door is open for them to be as good as the top of this division and the top of the AL. It's going to be some breaks here and there. And I am excited about the fact that, you know, as we said, it's small things today, but the defense held. The defense looked downright okay at points. And if they're not giving away games, that's going to go a long way in these races.
Yeah, I think there's going to be a lot of games this year that we're going to feel like we felt in the seventh today.
Yeah.
But to your point, that dam didn't break today.
Yeah.
And that's going to make or break the whole thing, I think. It's not going to be the, are they going to get hits? Are they going to have pitching? It's going to be in those moments when the bases are loaded and there's one out in the seventh inning in a tie game, are they going to bend or break there?
Yeah.
And I think that's just going to be how this season's going to go. And I don't think that's the worst thing in the world.
It's exciting.
It is. Oh, I'm very excited.
And again,
I was like inches from just ordering a Ryu jersey in the game.
You know, concerns about the pitching staff, they are also adding Pearson and Ray, like, eventually, right? It's like they're adding two
and Hatch
starters.
We don't really, Hatch is a question mark, but Hatch, like, could be good.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And we're, you know, I think we're both buying tickets on the Steven Matt's experience.
Yeah, I mean, I noticed that seemed when, I guess it was yesterday, when all like the sort of final roster decision tweets were coming out from the reporters of like who's starting the year on the injured list. And, you know, the names on that list are Nate Pearson, Robbie Ray, Thomas Hatch, and literally George Springer. And so it's, and I guess Kirby Yates, but he's just technically on the 10-day. But like, those aren't insignificant names to add to the team in 10 days.
For sure. For sure. No, absolutely. Absolutely. I'm just, I'm thrilled.
I just want to see George Springer fucking play. Oh my God.
I think it's coming. I think it's coming. I know it's coming. I just, you know,
a week to
a bleak injury. You just sort of like, as long as he's fine when he comes back, they're not.
Yeah.
The first week of the season isn't that important, but
for sure,
as long as he gets taken care of, it's very exciting. They're adding a World Series MVP and a starting center fielder and a great hitter to the top of the lineup of an already very good lineup. It's going to be a lot of fun summer nights. Boy, oh boy. And to your point. Just immediately like affecting my mood in dramatic ways. Like just,
yeah, there's just something about a good baseball team, you know,
there really is. That the way that the tensions and the way that things roll over the course of a game, it's pretty exciting. So more of that, coming up in the coming weeks. We're obviously gonna talk about the Jays a lot, in the coming days, in the coming weeks, in the coming episodes. That is something we do all the time, and we do it while enjoying left field beer. I drank that ice cold beer so quickly.
Yeah, mine's basically gone also.
That was gone in like before this segment even started. So we're going to go to the mailbag. We'll go to recommendations. We go to songs and matches and television shows and all that great stuff coming up after this. We return. It is time to recommend to you things for you to watch. It is recommendation time. Jake is a certified music lover and knower about her. What is your song of the week for another week?
I mean, I feel like last year we had an episode where my song of the week, usually we do like more off the beaten path things. And last year we had our song of the summer, a song of the week. I feel like the song of the week this week cannot be anything else other than Montero, Call Me By Your Name by Lil Nas X. A tremendous piece of pissing off a bunch of dummies. I love it. I love it. It's a great video. It's a great song. And everyone's real mad about it in the right ways. So, or in the wrong ways, but the right ways for entertainment. And don't yell at a famous millennial on the internet because he's better than you at it, is the thing.
Is he millennial or is he Gen Z?
He might be, sorry, Gen Z. That's what I meant. Yeah, millennials are dumb. He's Gen Z.
Terrifying.
How old is he?
21. He's 21.
He's 21. Yeah, so he's Gen Z. Don't try to insult him online because he's going to body you every single time.
Yeah.
Imagine going to a 20-year-old and being like, I think I can out-insult you on the internet. Absolutely not.
No, wouldn't ever be me. I would never.
Absolutely not. Anyway, yeah, has to be the song of the week.
I was thinking about this as I was also thinking about Chet Hanks, who I cannot stop thinking about.
That Kevin picture that you posted with that question today.
Do you think Kevin Biggio knows who Chet Hanks is?
Absolutely.
Do you think he said the words? WBS?
I don't know if he said them this week because of what Chet Hanks said, but I feel like it's maybe a thing he said unrelatedly.
Do you think that anybody in that locker room has said white bow summer?
Oh, yeah. 100%. I thought our friend Ty Berry had a good tweet yesterday where it was, we're about to find out which one of the Blue Jays are anti-vaxxers?
Yeah.
When everyone starts getting vaccines? It's probably a lot. And it's probably a lot of them who have said white bow summer.
Yeah, there's probably a bunch of them. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Anyway. Yeah, I was thinking, isn't it sort of, to your points about the Lil Nas X video, all well taken? But also, don't you sort of get just like tired of everything being just like a culture war? of like,
oh yeah, 100%. It's exhausting.
Of like even having to argue about it, or even like that conservatives, like, it's just so, to me, I get exhausted by like,
well, because it's all a lie is the thing.
Right. Exactly. Because conservatives like, aren't upset, and none of it's anything, right? None of it's anything.
The ones that are actually upset are just upset because he's gay.
Right.
They don't care that there's blood in the shoes. They don't care that the kids are hearing the song. They don't care even about the video. And they don't even care that, like, there's religious conscience with it. They just hate gay people and need an excuse to say that without actually saying it.
It's just weird. It's just everything becomes this nonstop culture war. It's just like, ugh.
Yeah, it is. Yes. Tiring. It's tiring and it's dumb. And it's all based in, I don't want to sound too conspiracy-y, but it's all just based in distracting from, like, it's the same thing with, like, the Dr. Seuss and Mr. Potato Head shit.
Right, exactly.
It's like, you're not actually mad about this. You just don't want to talk about the fact that you're shitty.
Right, and then for a week, the conservatives come out and, like, pose with Dr. Seuss books, and it's like, you angry about this? And it's like, no, nobody's actually angry about anything. This is not real. Yeah.
Because it's like those people on Twitter who will, like, make an intentionally bad take.
Right.
And then reply to themselves and be like, oh, well, you thought I was serious? Like, it's just arguing with things that aren't being argued against you.
Yeah. Good. Great points, Jake. The old classic, somebody told me Steph Curry was a bad shooter. It's like, nobody actually made that argument.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Great points, Jake. Match of the week.
Just want to say that is officially the worst genre of tweet. The intentionally fake bad take,
yeah,
followed by the, so many people are yelling at me. You thought I was serious? LOL.
Yeah.
That's the worst genre of tweet.
RIP my mentions after intentionally setting your mentions on fire.
Yeah.
Match of the week renewal with Arcade Anarchy. It was the closer to Dynamite this week. They fought around a bunch of arcade games. There was a table spot through a air hockey table and a,
that's cool.
Somebody popped up through one of those claw machines. Just a creative. They continue to take normal things and just make a little creative spin on them. And it was.
I like that. That's really cool.
AD Light. And I was not on AE Double Dudes afterwards, so I got to watch it as a viewer. Watch some Wrestling Brain as a viewer. And it was a lot of fun. It's a damn good show we have over there.
More and more people are saying it.
I must say, as a, you know, it's the only good wrestling community on Earth. It's sort of. That's our tagline that we're going with.
I like it.
Anything to watch, Jake? Anything you've viewed, whether it be movie?
No, we finished The Great, and we're back in that, like, we need a show rut. We've been watching The Simpsons as we fall asleep.
Mm-hmm.
Hot take: it's a good show, or it was a good show. Yeah, that's it. Nothing. Actually, that reminds me to ask people to give us a new show.
People telling me. To watch Bad Trip. You seen that?
Oh yeah, it's the Eric Andre thing.
Yeah,
yeah, I'd watch. I haven't watched it, but it's a movie, isn't it?
I think it is. Yeah, it's on Netflix. People saying to watch Bad Trip, and I want to watch Kong versus Godzilla, but I.
I really want to watch that. I don't think Cassie's interested in that one though.
If only there was a way you and I could watch it together, right?
Right.
My wife not a destruction movie fan, and like, there's no way it's not just a destruction movie.
Of course it is. It's the purpose. It's
literally Kong versus Godzilla. What else could possibly happen? We're now three episodes left in Superstore, so way it goes. We move on to the mailbag. Kramer asks us, what's his line going to have to look like in a month for him to reach your boy the Zook, Zoik, your boy the Zoik status? Literally just ERA below, like, 4, because, like, I don't expect much.
You think he's going to get rocked, eh?
Well, I don't want to get into, like, he doesn't really miss bats. He's a classic, like, doesn't get a lot of strikeouts guy.
The one swinging strike in the final spring start is a little alarming.
Yes. He's all things being equal, he's probably like the seventh or eighth starter, right? It's not like he's, you know what I mean? There's a lot of guys went down for him to get into this spot. So just survive, just ERA under 4 through a month. I think that's surviving. All he needs to survive. I'm not asking too much.
I think that's fair.
James Nielsen, hollow bunny, solid bunny. What do you prefer?
Solid.
Solid
sure.
bunny, for sure. Break your teeth off on that son of a bitch.
Yeah. Hollow bunnies are dumb. Although we did see a really fun hollow bunny cocktail on TikTok last night that I'm going to see if we can make, which, like, for that purpose, great.
You fill it with booze?
Yeah. But solid bunny for sure.
Definitely solid bunny. And with the crisp if you can.
Yeah.
I got to stop eating chocolate. I have so much. I got to stop. It's not good. Will, have you ever been had by an April Fool's Day gag? It is April Fool's Day today.
I don't know if I feel like April Fool's Day has changed. Because April Fool's Day used to be like pranks, and now it's just lies.
Yeah. Didn't.
So like sometimes you see things on Twitter, where you're like, oh, that's cool. And then there's like April Fool's. So I guess a couple of those have been like, wow, that sounds great. And then it turns out to not be real.
Yeah. When the brand reveals like a fake product or something. I think today Tom Brady was like, we bought the Expos.
Man, I wanted that one to be real. Just a perfect mix of just like dog shit.
I'm sure I have. I don't remember it off the top of my head, but it's been a long time since I had any sort of like connection to an April Fool's. I always try to avoid them when I am working a brand. I always say, I don't think this is a good idea to even bother with this. So,
I appreciated that on my feed today. It was mostly April Fool's Day free because after the fucking year we've had, who wants just like lied to a bunch?
Yeah, 2020 and 2021, not great April Fool's years.
I appreciate that. So thank you to everyone on my feed.
Connor, with a strategy question, if you and I were to fight each other, what would your respective strategies be and who would win? I would obviously try to use my reach.
You would win. 100% you would win.
Yeah, I would be trying to keep you at a distance, right? You have to get inside, basically, to get at me. So I would be working a lot of jab.
Yeah, I feel like I would have to take out your legs.
Yeah.
I'd have to go like back for like... get like those back of the knee shots.
Yeah.
Somehow.
Be a spirited scrap. I don't think either one of us are passionate enough about fighting.
I've never been in a fight.
Yeah, I don't know what would have to bring me to fisticuffs at this stage of my life. Paul Adam, if somebody offered you personal success in exchange for the memory of the bat flip and the shot being erased from Toronto sports history, what would be your asking price?
I'm gonna be honest. It's probably more than it should be.
Yeah, well, I mean, what is personal success?
Right. And, like, I watch both those things a lot.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've rewatched Game 5 lately, but it's crazy.
Yeah, man. Personal success is not a huge deal for me.
No, me neither. Like, just being comfortable and not having to worry or stress is really all I need.
Yeah, what is personal success? Who needs it? Asking us the wrong stage of our lives.
If I'm fulfilled and happy, I don't need to be like rich. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do. Giles, what's one ingredient, not a condiment, that you would add to macaroni and cheese to make it better?
Okay, so for a very long time, I would say up until the last year or so, I have long been a staunch don't add anything to mac and cheese guy.
Okay.
However, there's a mac and cheese place in Toronto called Bobby Sue's. It's on Ossington. It's great. They do a pulled pork mac and cheese, and it is fantastic. So my answer is any sort of like Southern barbecue meat.
Great answer. I was going to say like caramelized onions because they're so good at everything.
Ooh, yeah.
Or crispy onions. I like a little crunch.
Caramelized onion with crispy onions on top.
Yeah. Any Southern beef is also a great answer, Jake. Any meat, any Southern style meat. That's a great answer. Will, with a great question. What's one specific thing you realized today that you had missed about baseball?
Mine's kind of weird, but I'm trying to think of how to phrase it. The like image of a ball just like rocketing off the bat on a base hit. Like the Vlad's hit was a perfect example. Just like the replays of the speed in which like the sort of the act of the motion and act of the swing and then the motion and arc of the tiny baseball rocketing out into the field.
Mm.
It's a weird thing that I just like really enjoy. And when they started doing those super slow-mo shots last year, that's like my money. That's what I would live on those.
Great answer, Jake. I think my answer to this is how rapidly the game can swing. I think I don't know that. Maybe basketball has this with quick runs, but like, because you can score four runs at once, and because you can sort of like tack that on and multiply it fairly quickly, I think the way that like when you have a 3-run lead or a 2-run lead, like you're only ever 45 seconds away from that being in peril, or 45 seconds away from like being like, hey, we're back in this game, right? I think that is always really interesting to me, and I always forget it when I go 3 months, or you only watch spring training and you're like, none of this really matters. Like, as quickly as it was today, right, that seventh inning where like they have bases loaded, you're like, oh man, this is one swing away from being out of hand, right? It's one swing away from it being 6-2 right. Yankees. Or it's that same at bat, that same pitch gets hit on the ground and the Jays get out of it without getting up any runs at all. I find that so intoxicating about baseball, is that like that percentage, the variety of outcomes that can happen and basically on every single moment, and how much that can dramatically affect the game overall is like incredible. That, especially like using today's game, for example, the fact that it ended 3-2, it's like there is infinity amount of runs that could have been scored there. Like the game could have been 7-3. That game could have been 2-1. That game, like, you know what I mean? Is like there was there's so many different moments where like Phelps, that ball could have got through and it would have been 5-2, or you know, Jansen doesn't bunt, instead he hits a home run and now it's 6-2 Jays. Like, it's just sort of, I love the swings of baseball and how quickly momentum flips back and forth between the teams. I've always thought that was really, really cool.
I think to your point also, the unique thing about baseball stress is the time.
Mm.
Like, you have, I noticed this first in 2015 and I felt it again today. Just like, there's so much time between pitches for you to be stressed out, which I think is such a unique, fun thing to baseball. Cause you're just like, you're just waiting for, and like living and dying on those moments, that I think is also great.
Yeah. It's like, if you were to have a basketball possession where it's like, man, they got to score on this possession, not even the last possession of the game, but like, you know, the team's down 4 with 3 minutes left and they get a rebound. Like, imagine that possession lasted 3.5 minutes, right? Where it's just like, right. And they were dribbling and passing, and you're like, oh my God, are they going to get a bucket here or not? I think I phrased it last year after not watching for so long, that like the thing you forget is that the great moments come and go immediately, but the stressful moments in baseball last like 10 minutes and they drag it out and you have to go through all these different things. I think that's really cool. And one of the things I love about the game. Leifer, yeah. 1984. You've probably answered this already, but if you can sit in any seat in the dome, which seat would you choose?
I would say that my answer to this question has changed over the years. It used to be like, you know, like a nice, like front row 500s, like in the action kind of thing. But like sitting real close to the action is so cool. It's such a different viewpoint. I noticed it because like now as an adult, not going with like my dad who's paying for the tickets, it's so rare to sit really close. And I remember, I guess it would have been the last Blue Jays game I've been to. It was like, I'm so used to sitting up top that sitting in like the third row, it's just like, it's such a different way to watch the game. And I find it so interesting. So like, just like, it's a stupid answer, but like legitimately great seats, just like a little bit up the first or third baseline.
I've always wanted to sit in the actions, right, where Geddy Lee sits.
Mm, yeah.
I know that that's obvious to say, hey, you sit right in the middle. Right front row behind the plate, but I've always wanted to do it and never got a chance. I have sat first row, third baseline before, and it's really cool. You got to keep your head up though when, or at the time you did. I guess they're probably netting now, but like you're like you get brained sitting there. But yeah, and first row above the bullpen is fun too.
Yeah, bullpen's always good.
Okay, last question from Maroon. Assuming he returns from injury at normal level, does George Springer have the ability to briefly own this city in a way that Josh Donaldson did from 2014 to 2016? Lack of home fans factored in, I suppose, but it feels like he could be the next guy to bring the casuals back in. What say you, Jake?
Yes and no.
I agree.
I don't think Springer has the, for better or for worse, charisma that Donaldson has.
Ooh.
To become for the casuals. And again, that's better and for worse. But I think what's going to bring the Casuals back is more... I don't think it's going to be like one guy with this team. I think it's going to be more the collective of the kind of the fun guys. Like, I think it would be sort of the... It'll be... Springer will be part of it, for sure. But it'll be Springer and Vlad and Bo and Teoscar kind of thing, rather than just Springer.
I have to say that I think if I had to pick one guy, it's like if Vladimir Guerrero Jr. is as good as he is supposed to be, he is going to bring people in.
Yeah.
He alone 2 years ago, just from getting called up, got a lot of attention. If he is legitimate, like a no doubt all-star and a, we'll say, even top five MVP candidate this year, people are going to go absolutely nuts. I think I almost put Springer on like the Tulowitzki level, where it's like, you'd be like, holy shit, and we have Tulo. I'd be like, holy shit, and we have George Springer, where it'll be like, man, we got to go see Vladdy, and probably Bo too counts for this. But I think Vladdy and Bo are going to be the guys that have that Donaldson level, like own the city everywhere they go. People are like, oh my God, he's here. Sort of like, remember Vladdy debuted and then he showed up at the Raptors game and he got a standing ovation? Yep. That is sort of where I put him as, like, again, if he lives up to what he's supposed to be, he's going to have that key to the city level stuff.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
That is the mailbag for another week. We love it. We love it. If you want more mailbag, we are about to record a full mailbag for the Patreon audience, patreon.com/sportsfeld. You get mailbags. You get the weekly look back Sportsfeld story time, as well as ad-free episodes and Discord access. It's a ton of fun. That is patreon.com/sportsfeld. Get that extra mailbag and get it now. Coming up, we got nothing left to do but to ask ourselves whether we are sad or not sad after this. Before we get to the sad, not sad, I just wanted to say one more time, this month's Brewery of the Month is Left Field Brewery. Nothing goes better with baseball than Left Field beers. It is such a great honor and privilege to get to drink these incredible, delicious beers on this show and talk about it. So, so cool. They wanted us to let you know that they are driving you free home delivery. Orders over $45. Very, very cool. Take advantage of that, because that's dropped down from what used to be 50. Pretty dope. A great lineup of beers. They have all kinds of new stuff coming up all the time. Check out their social media and stuff, because holy cow, they're always dropping new beers. The new Glorioso is so good. But today we were drinking the ice cold beer, the classic ballpark beer. It is so good. It drank it so fast and could have another one right away. Don't mind if I do. That's Left Field Brewery, one of Toronto's very best, our good friends. We are so happy them sponsoring us. Left Field Brewery, your April Sportsfeld Brewery of the Month. We close it out with the classic segment, the thing that we are known for once upon a time, before we weren't known for anything at all. It is sad, not sad, for another week. I'm going to cop out, Jake, very simply and say I am not sad because I watched baseball pretty much all day today instead of doing my work.
It's pretty hard to say anything else, isn't it?
It's just great to have it back.
Yeah.
Even as that's another thing.
To the question of like things you missed about baseball that are specific, just like the game ending and then a bunch of highlights from seven other games that were on.
And we did this before, I think, on the night the Springer thing happened. It's just like the whole timeline, watching a Jays game and just like celebrating and jokes and, you know, the easy faves, the easy 50 faves. On...
Yeah. Oh, buddy. you know,
the
it.
The easy faves is good stuff. I'm just thrilled. The team looks exciting and they look fun. And sometimes, you know, as much as we love the Raptors and Leafs and the great moments that they've been able to give us the last little bit, this team has such a huge part of my heart always. And, they're going to be entertaining, and that is literally all you can really ask. And I'm looking forward to it tonight. Today was like a really all you could ask for, to look at the first game and be like, what do you need to be excited about the year? It's like they didn't blow them out, but they played them hard, and they played them competitively, and there was a bunch of huge moments, and they came through in all the big moments and all the ways they had to. So I'm very happy, and really got me looking forward to a great year. And to be, this is going to sound like a plug, but I tell you, it is and it isn't, to also get to come on here and do this with Left Field Brewery, which I just, like we said before, love Left Field Brewery, and you mentioned it lightly, but like, they also stand for good things, and they do good in the community, and they're like a positive, and that means a lot to me and to us to have them on board with us, and that they would choose us to be a sponsor partner for them, to me, is like so cool. So I feel blessed, and I don't take it for granted that we have such cool sponsors and get to do this cool stuff where we come on and drink beer and talk about baseball, and people are part of the community. It rocks.
Agreed.
Jake, are you sad or not sad?
I gotta go not sad as well. Just for the baseball reason. Like, it's, I want it to be more complicated. I don't want it just to be like, I feel good because I watched a good baseball game today, especially when the province we live in is literally crumbling at the seams. But I can't. I just had a great time watching the game today.
Yeah, and I'm just checking here. It seems like the province is in lockdown. it's in shutdown. It's in shutdown. It's different. Right.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. It's different. It's the same. It's different. It's not like everyone behind the Ontario government should be in jail, but you know, that's for another day. That's for a non-baseball day.
As we said before, it's almost as if having all the dumbest, worst people in charge is having consequences. I hate to see it.
Yeah.
I hate to see it. Anyway, that is it for another episode of Sports Felt. As we leave you, we want to leave you with the positive. So we are both feeling not sad. We are both happy. We are both thrilled that Blue Jays baseball is back. Tune in this weekend for your Patreon audience gets to enjoy the first episode of Blue Monday for the season, as I will be going through the weekend's thing and hopefully lining up an interview and talking baseball all weekend. Absolutely cannot wait. That'll be patreon.com/sportsfeld, as long with the monthly mailbag and your Sportsfeld Storytime, patreon.com/sportsfeld. In the meantime, we thank you so much for listening to another episode of Sportsfeld.